This is the Paul Gough Audio Experience. Whether you call yourself a PT, a physical therapist, or a physiotherapist, and wherever you're listening to this right now, this is for you. It is me revealing everything I can to help make you a more successful business owner. Thanks for listening. It means the absolute world to me. All right, everybody, let's get going with another podcast. Welcome to the Paul Gough Audio Experience and podcast. It is fantastic to be here with you, Paul Gough, live from Orlando. Thanks again for tuning in. We absolutely never, ever take your listenership for granted. And thanks for spreading the word about the Planet Paul community that continues to grow globally. I've got a podcast today that will strike at the heart of the majority of the people who are going to listen to it, titled, Why Are You Still at Work When You Should Be at Home with Your Kids? Right? Now, if you haven't got kids, insert the dog, insert the wife, partner, husband, just somebody or somewhere that you would rather be, that you know you need to be, but you keep putting it off and keep telling yourself that something is more important. So we're going to have a discussion about why are you always still at work when you should be at home with the kids. So we're going to get into that podcast today. It comes on the back of a conversation that I had with the Mastermind group recently, and I'm going to just kind of dive into 10 or 15 minutes of it because I think it's very important for you to hear it. We're always about marketing advice and business advice and sales and recruitment and leadership. That's what we do here at Paul Gough Media. That's kind of why people hang around with us on Planet Paul. We're into helping you grow businesses that are successful with or without you. And one of the things that we always have to consider is just some of the things that we do that, if I'm allowed to use the word, just kind of sabotage a little bit of the success that we might have, whether it's financially or practically building a big business. There's this other thing called a life and a personal life that we've got to, it, in my eyes, has to be the priority, and everything else gets built around it. So I'm going to talk to you about why you find yourself always at work when you should be at home with the kids or with your wife or with your husband or with the dog or your mom or your dad or whoever, right? So we're going to have a good discussion about that one. First, let me tell you what's coming up. We have a summer of huge events, blockbuster events. We have just really raised the bar again this summer. We've, in the last 12 months, had events in Sydney. We've had events in Orlando. We've had events in London. We've had events in Dublin. Where else have we been? Las Vegas. We've really raised the bar on the events, and we're going to look to continue to do that into 2023 and beyond. I say this all the time. The purpose of what we do or what I do, I believe I'm here to bring you all together. It's the best thing that I can do. The thing that really, really impacted my life and kind of sent me off to the, you know, to the next level, if you like, was when I realized the value of being around other smart business owners, people who are like-minded, ambitious, success-driven, people who want to genuinely get to the next level of success. It's almost impossible to do it on your own. You cannot be inspired when you're in the same room all the time, talking to the same people all of the time. For me, just getting on the flight is the, you know, is the value of getting to events. Everything else is a bonus. Just getting some of that alone time and creativity time, knowing that I'm headed to an event with somebody that's as ambitious as me, that wants to prosper like me, wants to share ideas and advice with me, somebody that can become a confidant that I can ring and call upon whenever I need any advice. That's the point of masterminds. That's the point of events. That's the point of seminars. The content, whatever it is, fantastic, but nothing ever trumps being in a room with other smart business owners. And that's why at Paul Gough Media, really the primary thing that we do is we don't put on events, we don't put on seminars. We bring people together and we expand a global community that is now literally bringing people together from as far afield as, like I said, Australia, all across the US, Canada. We're in the United Arab Emirates. We've got members over there in Denmark, Paraguay, Canada, Scotland, Ireland, Spain, Malta. We're pretty much, you know, in certainly a lot of countries around the world now, and it's so cool to have you all together, which is why you need to know about these events. So the next one's in London. We're going to be on the 27th and 28th of June. We're going to be in London, the capital of the United Kingdom. We're going to be there. It's the height of summer in England, light nights till 11 o'clock. There is no better city to be anywhere in the world, in my humble opinion, than London at the height of summer. So we're going to be there. And not just in London, we're going to be at one of the biggest and best football stadiums on the planet, soccer stadium, as you might call it. However, it is home to the British NFL game. So whenever there's a game in England, the NFL, I think it's the Jaguars play there. Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is where the next big event is. We've hired out the stadium. We're planning to fill it with 100,000 people. No, not necessarily. One day we'll get 100,000 of you guys together in the Tottenham Stadium. But we've got the conference room at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium overlooking the pitch there. We're going to get a tour of the ground. It is regarded as the premier, foremost, most modern, most just amazing stadium on the planet right now. If you want to Google it and check it out, it's the stadium that everybody else is copying, basically, for sports arenas, concerts, commercial activity. And included in the 2 days is a tour of the stadium and just kind of the kind of inspirational design and kind of commercial aspect of it as well. We're going to get a tour and a talk about the stadium that hopefully will leave you inspired. So if you're looking for a reason to come to London, it is the 27th and 28th, wherever you are. If you're a physio, a sports therapist, chiropractor, whatever you are, if you treat patients and you kind of buy into my philosophy of putting patients first, getting marketing to position you as the authority, as the expert, great customer service, loving on your clients, having some fun at work, just enjoying what you do, living your life, any of those tick a little box for you, you're very welcome to come and join us. Head over to paulgough.com/guest, G-U-E-S-T, guest, or just reply to any of the emails that we send you, and just tell us you want to come and meet us in London. We'll give you all of the details. And after that, we're leaving London. We're flying to Cleveland, Ohio. Okay, not quite London. It's not quite London. However, we make up for Cleveland, Ohio, with Dan Kennedy. He is the smartest mind that I've ever met. The guy that's helped me, certainly, if I'm talking to you today, it's probably because of the knowledge and the tools and the skills that Dan gave me. If I'm having as much fun as I am today, it's because Dan showed me a different way to live. He certainly set me off on the path of there is a very, very different way that you can live, Paul. If you want to be like everybody else, then good, but if you don't, you need to do these things. So I'm proud and just pleased to be able to bring Dan to you and give you an opportunity to perhaps maybe get in the room with him for one final time. He is definitely on his, in fact, I received a letter from him recently. He has an event the week after us, and it's called the Not Dead Yet Tour, is appropriately priced as well, by the way, just under $5,000 to get in to see Dan. That's usually how much he costs. It's significantly cheaper if you come and see him with me, but he is on his Not Dead Yet tour, which suggests that he probably thinks that the curtain is coming down, if you like, on his public appearances. So this could be the final time that you get to see Dan. Come and see him in a room full of other private practice owners. All of the discussion will be about private practice success in life, and what things that people like you and I can do to get to the next level. A huge discussion, almost an entire afternoon, will be about cash pay marketing. Dan is the world's number one marketing consultant, and I first went to Dan to help me break the trap of insurances. How did I need to position myself differently? What did I need to do with my marketing, my follow-up, my sales conversations? Dan was the guy that kicked all of that off for me practically. And we're going to allocate probably a full afternoon to a discussion about what anybody can do if you are insurance-based and you're trying to get towards more cash in your life, or if you are cash-based, what you need to do just to ramp up more and more people who are happy to give you cash. It is all about marketing. Never let anybody tell you that there is anything else in it. It's positioning. It's what people believe to be true before they get there that decides what they will pay for you. And a great phrase that I heard recently from another smart, super smart business coach that I have, that I spent some time with recently. Nobody knows how good you are before they buy. They only know how good your marketing is until they buy. So nobody knows. So before they buy, nobody knows how good you are. Until they buy, they only know how good your marketing is. And I don't care if you're in healthcare, you're in cars, or you're a mechanic, a pool cleaner, you are a lawyer, a dentist, a doctor, whatever. It does not matter. That is the fundamental law of life. and we might not like it, and there'll be some healthcare practitioners who just don't want to believe that that is true, but they are defying the law of life that marketers win. Marketers win at everything. They influence behavior, they influence psychology, they influence actions. Almost every single one of us is influenced by marketing. In fact, every single one of us is influenced by marketing on a daily basis. You've got to get in the game. You've got to know how to play it. You've got to know what to say, what to write, what to say on the phone when it comes to cash pay. It isn't as simple as just put some ads on TikTok or Facebook or whatever. There are some fundamental principles that you need to know. If you do, it makes cash pay conversations much easier. It makes the ability to move from crappy, low-paying, almost, am I allowed to say, asshole insurance companies that ruin your life towards working with people that are happy to give you $200 and $300 per session, which is true, by the way, and never let anybody tell you that that isn't possible for you. So the Dan event is going to be huge. Zero to million. We're going to talk about what it takes to get from zero to a million. Will be the first morning. And then on the afternoon, we're going to talk about what it takes to market a practice successfully for cash pay businesses. So very, very appropriate. Head over to paulgough.com/Dan. Many of you have already booked your seat, and I'm so thrilled for you to be there. It's going to be definitely the kind of event of the summer. We're going to have people coming in from all over the world. So if you're a private practice owner, head over to paulgough.com/Dan. Literally just enter your details and you'll get all of the information about the event, where it's at, July the 8th and 9th in Cleveland, what will happen when you get there, etc., and an opportunity to book a seat while you still can. So that's what's going on. And obviously, don't forget, mark your calendars. Private Practice Market Alive 23. We're back for the annual event. The 3 or 4 day event, if you choose to come for 4 days, is taking place on the 19th, 20th, 21st, and 22nd of October in Orlando, at the same hotel and same venue as last year. We've got a massive, massive speaker this year. All I'm saying is we've upped the game, we're upping the ante, and we're really taking over the world when it comes to bringing you guys together through the medium of very, very enjoyable, very productive events, seminars, and meetings. So if you're sitting and you're listening to this and you haven't been to one, why not? This is what we're here for. Come on, get on board, and we'll see you at an event, and I'll meet you at the bar, and I'll buy you a beer. Right, let's get into this. Let's get into this show. Why are you still at work? Why are you still at work? That's what I want to know. Why are you still at work when you should be with the kids, right? Or parents, dog, whatever, right? Watching TV or Netflix, right? There's other shit you can do, right? Rather than just being at work all day. As much as it's a nice bell cow or a badge of honor that you might like to kind of lord around and tell people that you work 16 hours a day, and I've seen all this crap on Facebook, and, you know, the US loves the idea that you, you know, get a badge for working 16, 17 hours a day and you get lots of likes. And frankly, it's a load of shit, right? It really is crap in my eyes. And if you're still doing the 16, 17 hour a day thing, or even the 12, 13, 14 hours a day, constantly, 52 weeks of the year, anything more than 2 years after starting your business, take it as a given and write this down. You are doing something wrong. It was not designed to be this way. I absolutely agree that you're supposed to put your life and soul and your sweat and your equity on the line in the first 2 years, and you kind of have to, you know, do all of that stuff because it's you, it's your ideas and your genius, and, you know, you're building a team and all those types of things. But if 2 years later you're still the one that all of this stuff depends upon, you are doing something wrong, right? And I'm going to get into your head a little bit over the next, you know, half an hour or whatever it will be, to give you an idea of what's going wrong. And hopefully we can break that trap. So the first thing is, 2 years in from a business, you should not be at work relentlessly 12, 14, 15 hours a day. I agree, and I would, if I have to do it, I do it. If we've got big events, big seminars, then absolutely a couple of weeks before, Natalie and the kids kind of know that daddy's going to be a bit busy, right? I might come in at 7, I might come in at 8. That's fine. They know that, and they know that dad's gone into that season or that period of the year or the month or whatever it will be that he has to do something, you know, a little bit more. However, it will then be followed very quickly. It will be followed very quickly by a very, very good period of time that I'll go home at 3 o'clock, or I'll start work at 12 o'clock, or I'll take Friday off, or I'll meet Natalie in the wine bar at 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, which I've become a bit accustomed to recently, but hey ho, it's Florida. What else do you do when you live in Florida except go to the bar at 2 o'clock on an afternoon? Because as we like to say in my house, it is 5 o'clock in England, right? That's the phrase that we use. It might be 2 o'clock in America, but it's 5 o'clock in England, right? And given that I'm English, I've decided to stay on English time. I've realized that American time, EST, just doesn't suit me sometimes. when it's 12 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon and I'm in my pool and I'm staring at the bottle of margarita or the new beer pump that I've had installed in my garden recently, which now serves Peroni on draft, by the way, 12 o'clock just doesn't work for me. Being on EST just doesn't work. So I've decided I don't like being on EST, that it's 5 o'clock in England. That will do for me. My family, my blood is English, so I just make a quick call to somebody from England, pretend that I'm in England, and then I just start the drink. So anyway, that's talk about autonomy. I think Dan Kennedy probably taught me how to live like this. Anyway, where was I? Right, you can basically should be going home when you want, right, after a couple of years in business. And we should be able to get to a point where you have a lot of flexibility in your life rather than constantly being rigid and looking at your calendar, looking at your, you know, your work week and thinking, oh shit, I need to be there at 7 and I need to be there at 6 and I need to do this and then I need to do that. If your calendar, write this down, if your calendar doesn't energize you, change the bloody thing, right? Change the damn thing. So let's get the first thing out the way with that. There's some practical things there. First of all, you shouldn't be there 2 years on, still stuck in your business. And secondly, if your calendar doesn't excite you or energize you, change it. So here's what's interesting. This is what I spoke about the other day. Here's why I think people are stuck in their business. And I could sum it up with a very simple sentence. I think you're lying to yourself. I think you're lying to yourself, right? And I'm going to prove it in just a moment. I think you're kidding yourself as to what you think is important to you. All well-meaning and all very seductively, you know, feels right and feels intentional at the time and it feels, you know, purposeful when you say certain things and do certain things. But I think there's a little bit of lying to yourself going on, if I'm allowed to say. And here's an example of it. There's a thing called money dials, right? And forgive me, I don't remember the guy who taught me this, but there's this concept of money dials where a human being, every one of us, you and I, we have this thing, right? We have a dial of where we like to spend our money. And we spend more on certain things than other things. So for example, I would spend money on travel, on personal development, I'd spend it on experiences, and I love comfort, right? So what that means is, if you look at my spending habits, you'll find most of the money gets spent on personal development. Overwhelmingly, the majority of my free cash gets spent on personal development, on VIP days, on consulting days, on masterminds, on seminars, on books, on just being in a room with smart people, right? Overwhelming amount of my money gets spent on that. Then you would look at it and say, all right, well, Paul values comfort. So if you come to my house, you would see big sofas, you'd see big tellies, you'd see lots of space. I've got a big car. I like to travel in a certain way with my feet up because I like comfort, right? I like space. I like that type of thing. I spend it with the kids on experiences. I take them to big football games or sporting games like I did recently at the Galaxy. Sorry, I'm off to see Galaxy this weekend. Play soccer. I took them to the Lakers, right? And we made a weekend of it. It was an experience. I take them to Europe. I take them to Portugal and, you know, just take them on really cool experiences, lake trips and boats and various things. I like to spend my money on experiences. What you won't see is that much money spent on things like watches, clothes. I buy clothes that are appropriate for my role. If I'm on stage, I'll buy nice jackets or suits or, you know, various things like that. But in my, you know, kind of day-to-day life, I'm very relaxed. I like nice, comfortable trainers, nice pair of shorts, t-shirt, and a cap, right? A hat, and maybe some pair of glasses. Other than that, I'm not really interested in spending money on things like a watch or jewelry or necklaces or rings or anything like that. Those things just don't interest me like they might do, for example, Natalie, right? So she might like to choose to spend her money. If I like to travel in a certain way, she would probably, if I said, look, I need $5,000 to travel first class back to England, she might say, well, I'd rather have that for a bag, right? Now, I'm not saying that that conversation takes place, but that would be an example that I would like to use the money for a bigger version of something because I like comfort and experiences. Whereas Natalie might say, well, I prefer a nice pair of shoes or a nice pair of jeans. Great, right? That's what she loves. So her money dial is that, right? My money dials are different. Now, here's the bit. You've got a money dial and your wife or your husband has got a money dial. And most people don't know what they are. So what happens is if you said to somebody, what do you really value? You know, what do you like to spend your money on? What they'll tell you is, I love to spend money on A, B, or C, right? And they might say, I value my health. I like to spend my money on holidays or on vacations. And then you'd go into their bank account and get the facts and you'd see that they don't spend money on vacations. They spend it on Netflix. They spend it on clothes. They spend it on meals. They spend it on Cheesecake Factory. They spend it on DoorDash, on insert the blank, right? So what they think that they spend money on isn't what they actually spend money on. And people go through their whole lives never understanding this. And it's a fact. You cannot deny it. You can say that you like one thing, but then if somebody went into your bank account, they will find that you're probably not spending the money on the thing that you say you like to spend money on. And the reason we do it is often to save face. So what we say publicly isn't always true on the inside. What we'd like to tell somebody that we spend our money on isn't necessarily what we actually spend our money on, right? The reason that people like credit cards is that they don't see the transactions. They don't have to look at the bill at the end of the month. They just see the sum of $3,000, right? But if you went through line by line and you itemized them, was it experience? Was it personal development? Was it comfort? Was it travel? Was it health? You know, was there a gym membership and subscriptions to sort of certain food or meal plans? Was it items? Was it luxury? You could put all of these things into categories and you would come up with every single dime that you've ever spent in order to what you actually value and spend your money on versus what you think you value and you spend your money on, right? So I thought about this long and hard recently. And I thought, you know what? I think the same thing applies to values and beliefs, right? Because now I'm going to get to the heart of the conversation about why a business owner is still at work. If it's true that we think, right? So the classic scenario would be, do you value your health? Yes, you do. I value my health. Great. Let's have a look at your bank account. Well, I can't see anything in your bank account that has had any commitment to any penny or any dime being spent on your health. There's no gym membership. There's no meal plans. There's just nothing. There's not one single thing has been spent on your health. And yet, what you've actually spent money on is pizzas, DoorDash, Cheesecake Factory, alcohol, cigarettes, like pretty much everything that damages your health, right? And you've done it in mass. But you think that you value your health, but you don't, right? So I looked at this and said, right, I bet there's something similar going on for a business owner between values and beliefs. Now, if you ask a business owner, what do they value? They'll say, I value my family, I value my kids, I value time with my kids, and I value being with my kids, and I value my wife, and I value time with my wife, and I value vacations with my wife, and I value my home life, and all this shit, right? And the reality is, they don't live that. Because what they value is being at work. Well, they have to. The value of being at work is stronger than the value of being at home and with the kids. Why? Because they're there. So they don't actually value time with the kids. They value being at work. And it's an undeniable mathematical fact that wherever you've spent your time, that's what you're telling yourself you value the most, right? So you have to learn to break these traps and kind of talk to yourself really and honestly about what is going on. I can't tell myself that I value my kids if I look back after 4 weeks and I've spent more time at work and I've said no to being at home for soccer or going on vacation or being... I don't value my kids. I don't. I value being at work. Now, of course, I do value my kids and I love them dearly. But what I'm saying here is there's a disconnect between what you think that you value and then what your actions actually do, much like somebody who says, I love my health, but then spends all of their money on pizzas. It's admirable, but it absolutely isn't true. And I'm of the opinion that the faster we get to truth, the more progress that we can make in life. And that's all I've ever been about. Sometimes it's harsh, sometimes it's candid, sometimes it's brutal, but it gets to the heart of what really you and I, you know, the conversations that we really need to have. So here's another one. So if the value is I'm telling myself that I love my kids and I love being with my kids and I want to spend time with my kids and that's, you know, just the most important thing to me, but I never do it, well, the value I have is work. I value being at work more than my kids. And when you hear that, it's brutal. And I hope it is, because that might just be the little shock that one or two people need to go, do you know what? I need to fucking go home tonight. Screw that. I'm getting somebody in to do that. I'm paying somebody XYZ an hour. I'm out. That's not important. Mrs. Smith is not as important as my kids. Being with my kids at Disney or on the beach or whatever is more important to me. And you might say I value time with my kids and I'm on the beach with my kids. Great, but you're also on your phone. And in that moment, you value the phone more than your kids. If you look back at your life, if somebody could show us at the end all of the moments that our kids were looking at us and talking to us, and we were actually on our phones or distracted by emails when we were supposed to be with them and we thought that we were with them, I bet we'd be horrified. I think about that all of the time. It frightens the life out of me. If I'm ever tempted to get my phone out, I'm basically saying to my three-year-old who's looking at me and trying to talk to me about Paw Patrol or whatever it is, Roma and Diana or, you know, whatever he watches on YouTube, Ryan's Toy World is his latest, every time I'm more interested in my phone and my email and my staff or my money or whatever, I've prioritized and valued that more than my kid. That's the truth. Don't like it, but that's the truth. So here's the second one. A belief is also holding you back, right? A belief is also holding you back. If your current belief that everybody else can do the job better, or you can do the job better than anybody else, why do you want that belief? How is that serving you well? If your current belief is that only you can do the job, why do you want that belief? Ask yourself, what the hell are you hanging on to a belief for that doesn't serve you well? If your belief is that you're better than everybody else, if your belief that only patients want to see you, if your belief that all of your staff are not good enough and everything has to come through you, what the hell do you want that belief for? Why don't you just let it go? Like, change your belief. Change it. You're more than capable of doing that. What if the belief is, I can deal with any hassle and any fallout as a result of my staff possibly not doing the job as good as me? What if that was your belief? That's mine. I'm going to have a very, very different type of life than somebody who rigidly sticks to, I'm of the belief that only I can do this thing. That person has locked themselves up all of their life and they'll stay that way. So you've got to really question all of these things. The belief that you have right now that you're better than anybody might be true, and it is true, probably most of the things that you are involved in. Like, that's the facts of running a business. You could do most things better. Of course you could. Doesn't mean you should do them. What it's saying is the belief that you've got is not serving you well. At what point will you change it? There are so many people living their lives today with beliefs, false beliefs and outdated beliefs that are literally killing them, holding them back to be able to do so many things that they're just not able to do because of a false belief. Whatever it is, the belief that you have to be involved in something, the belief that you have to have an opinion on something, the belief that you have to care about something, the belief that you have to go to work a certain period of time, the belief that you have to do whatever, cut the cord on it. And when it comes to your values, you've got to really ask, where am I spending my time? If you've gone home for 4 weeks and looked at your calendar and you've prioritized your time at work and Mrs. Smith over places that you could have gone with your kids, and by the way, even just spontaneously saying, do you know what, love, honey, husband, wife, kid, whoever, do you want to meet me in the bar tomorrow at 2 o'clock? Let's have some drinks. Do you want to meet me for a coffee at 1 o'clock? Do you want to, I'll pick the kids up tonight as a surprise. I'll take them out to a little shop and get them an ice cream for half an hour, 45, whatever it is. If we haven't been able to do something like that in the last month because we're rigidly stuck to the same calendar, I'm going to say this. This is quite a brutal podcast today. I'm going to tell you this as well. Your life is not your own. Your life is somebody else's. It's rigid, it's fixed, it's stuck. And I can tell you that human beings are not good when there are any three of those states. That's what leads to frustration and anger and feeling like you're never in control, because candidly, you're not in control. You've made predetermined, fixed plans that you're unable to change, and that's why you feel out of control. We blame governments, we blame staff, we blame husbands, wives, and everybody else. And the reality of it, it's ours. We're not living our own life. What we don't even know what we spend our money on, most people, right? They value, really, practically, Netflix, pizzas, and DoorDash, and then they're telling you that they value holidays with their kids, and yet they don't go on one, right? That's the truth. They value cigarettes and alcohol in most cases, most people, because they will physically spend more money on cigarettes and alcohol, tobacco, alcohol, whiskey, whatever. They will spend more money on those things than on a vacation to Brazil or Europe that they could go on every year instead of it. That's a fact. No, there's no bullshitting around it. And values, in terms of time, well, I'm saying I love being with my, you know, insert the blank, kids, wife, whoever. But every opportunity I get, I stay at work. And then I've got a belief pattern that says only I can do it and everybody else isn't as good as me. And I'm sticking to that belief, and it might be true, but it's a bad one, and I'm choosing to hold on to that belief. I'm basically getting into a toxic relationship with the belief that I chose. It's like going on Tinder, picking the ugliest person that you can find, who is a serial adulterer in X amount of debt, who is aggressive and angry and rude and ignorant, who is the whatever, right? You pick that person. And then it's like sitting in a coffee shop a week later and going, I picked the wrong one. I don't know if I'm in a good relationship here, but I'll stay in it for another 25 years. This person beats me up. They're overweight. They're in lots of debt. They're rude. They're miserable. They never make me laugh. They're ugly. They're one of the ugly sisters. And I'm going to go, but you picked them. Like, you chose that person on Tinder. You could have swiped right or left, and you went, yes, let's match. Like, you've done this. At what point do you have to wake up and go, I've chose this belief and I'm living by this belief and it doesn't work? I'm in a relationship with a wrong'un. I'm in a relationship with somebody that I shouldn't be in a relationship with, and I've chose it. At what point do I need to cut the cord on the belief, change what I really, really value, and really look at what I spend my money on? And if I get closer to all those three things, truths you might call them, I bet you you'll feel significantly more in control of your life than you do right now. This business of yours is so easy. The business side of business is a dream in comparison to the shit that goes on inside of our heads, which is why you have to confront both. Anyway, that's it from me. That's my little rant, if you like, for this week and what I've got to share with you. Hope you've enjoyed it. Please share it out. Tell your friends about it. Listen to it again more than once if you need to. Leave me a comment on iTunes or SoundCloud or wherever it is that you subscribe to. And if you do this. Just tell me where you are in the world. I promise you I'll look over the next week or two. Leave me a little comment. Tell me where you are listening to or this. And just tell me a little bit about you, and maybe we'll do some shout out on the next couple of podcasts. So thanks for your time. Remember the big events we've got coming up. We're bringing you all together. We talk about many more things like this in the mastermind, at the seminars, at the events. We do the marketing plan. We'll do your sales plan. We'll do the last event was a sales playbook for your business. We do all of those practical things, but we also do a lot of this type of stuff as well, because the two go hand in hand. There's going to be a very rich business owner as a result of following, good marketing advice, and that's fantastic, but who might get to the end of their life and think, shit, but I didn't see my kids and I'd never felt in control. I looked at my calendar every week and I was never happy. Please don't let that be you. That's what we're trying to help you with when all is said and done. So head over to paulgough.com/guest if you want to come to London, or just fill out that form anyway and tell us which event you want to come to. All of the details about the Dan event, paulgough.com/Dan. Just literally enter your details and you'll get all of the information to book a seat for the July 8th and 9th Cleveland event. All right, that's it. I'm off. I'll be back again soon with another podcast. Thanks for listening. Really do appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to Paul Gough's audio experience. If you're brand new to Paul's world, head on over to paulsmarketingbook.com, where you can get started with his number one best-selling marketing book for physical therapists. Or if you've been listening to the show for a while, you like what you hear and you think that you could benefit from this type of help to accelerate the growth and profitability of your practice, reach out to Paul's team at paul@paulgough.com and tell us exactly what you're looking for. And by the way, if you know someone who would benefit from today's show, please share it with them. And if you've got any questions that you want answered, tweet Paul at @thepaulgough using the hashtag AskPG. You can also find all of these details over in today's show notes. All right, until next time, have a wonderful day.